Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q3 FY23 earnings conference call of South Indian Bank, hosted by InCred Equities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sri Shankar R. from InCred Equities. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Yashashri. Good afternoon, all the participants. Good afternoon, Mr. Murali Ramakrishnan and his senior management team, for taking time out to do this analyst call to investors and analysts. Without wasting much of our time, or everyone's time rather, I request Mr. Murali Ramakrishnan to give an overview of the results and then take the question and answer sessions. As in line with what he has been projecting, what he's been giving guidance, the company has still come out with a good performance. I hope the good performance continues. Over to you, sir.
Good afternoon to all of you, and thank you for joining us for the South Indian Bank Q3 FY23 earnings conference call. I am joined by my colleagues, Mr. Thomas Joseph, Executive Vice President, Group Business Head, Mr. Anto George, Chief General Manager and Head of HR and Admin, Mr. Sanjay Sinha, Senior General Manager and Head of Retail Liabilities, Ms. Chitra, Senior General Manager and Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Sony, Senior General Manager and Chief Information Officer, Ms. Biji, Senior General Manager and Head of Corporate Banking Group, Mr. Senthil Kumar, Senior General Manager, Recovery, and Mrs. Minu Moonjely, Senior General Manager, Credit, Mr. Vinod, who's a General Manager, Treasury, and Mr. Nehru Singh, General Manager, Credit Policy and Monitoring. Let me start with the key highlights of financial performance for the quarter ended December 2022. Bank declared quarterly results with a net profit of 103 crores as against a loss of 50 crores during the corresponding period of the previous year. CASA amount increased by 9.9% year-on-year from rupees 28,229 crores to 30,660 crores as of December 2022. CASA ratio improved by 186 basis points year-on-year to 33.81 crores from 31.95%. NIM improved to 3.52% against 2.64% on a year-on-year basis. Provision coverage ratio, including the write-off, improved by 643 basis points year-on-year to reach 74.51% in Q3 FY23 against 68.08% during Q3 FY22. Overall gross NPA reduced to 5.48% from 6.56% on year-on-year basis. Net NPA reduced to 2.26% from 3.52% on year-on-year basis. Continuing our focus on collections, our SMA-2 portfolio has come down by 48% on year-on-year basis from rupees 1,330 crores to rupees 697 crores. Built a new book of rupees 37,748 crores from October 2020 with a better underwriting reflecting GNPA close to 0.06% and SMA-2 book is 0.22%. During the quarter ended December 31, 2022, bank had provided additional provision for depreciation on security receipts related to SRs acquired prior to March 31, 2017, amounting to rupees 311.74 crores pursuant to clarification on master direction of transfer of loan exposure 2021 published by RBI on December 5, 2022. With regard to status of sale of assets to ARCs, we carry a balance SR of 1,455.73 crores and provision as per aging of assets amounting to 1,241.16 crores. However, the provision as per NAV is 750.11 crores, indicating 491.05 crores additional provision in the books. With this outstanding SR is 214.57 crores. For this outstanding 2,257 crores, sorry, let me repeat. With this outstanding SRs is rupees 214.57 crores. For this outstanding 0.57 crores, the expected aging provision by March 2023 is 48 crores and rupees 15 crores for next full year ending March 2024. If this one-off provision related to SRs acquired prior to March 31, 2017 is not netted off, the bank would have registered a profit before tax of rupees 474 crores and profit after tax of 306 crores, recording the highest ever quarterly profit declared by the bank. Significant improvement in ROA at 5.56% as against negative 0.31% and ROE at 9.22% against negative 5.4% on year-on-year basis. Excluding this one-off SR provision, our ROA is at 0.82% and ROE is at 13.05%. Let me now take you through the other operational financial performance of the bank. The total business for the bank increased by 9% and stands at rupees 1,60,789 crores as of December 31, 2022. Advances grew by 18% year-on-year, rupees 70,117 crores, backed by total disbursements of rupees 36,957 crores during the 9 month ended December 2022. The details of disbursements are as follows. Corporate, rupees 20,413 crores, predominantly to A and above rated corporates. Gold, rupees 8,269 crores. Business segment, rupees 4,735 crores. And other retail at rupees 3,541 crores, which includes PL of 1,609 crores, credit card of 670 crores, and 1,218 crores of loan against deposits. The share of A and above rated large corporates 82% as of December 31, 2021, to 95% as of December 31, 2022. We have nil slippages in our new corporate book. We continue to grow our gold loan business. Our disbursement year on year was rupees 11,081 crores with an average LTV of 81.42% and a ticket size of about rupees 1.52 lakh. Gold loan book grew by 32% year on year to reach 13,053 crores. Personal loan is another segment where we see good traction since the launch of pre-approved PL in December 21. As on date, our PL book had crossed rupees 1,646 crores. Credit card is another growth area which we launched during FY 22. As on December 22, we had issued 1,87,694 credit cards with monthly average spends of rupees 24,561. The total book as of December 22 stood at rupees 670 crores. As far as SME is concerned, we are seeing good uptick in disbursement month on month over the past few years. We are cautiously growing this segment with average monthly disbursement of more than rupees 525 crores for the 9 months ended December 22 as against the average of 200 crores for the corresponding period last year. A healthy economic growth and government spending towards infrastructure sectors will help credit uptick in coming years. Our aim is to grow loan book by double digit in FY23. Coming to liability portfolio, our core deposits grew by 5% year on year, rupees 88,660 crores. CASA deposits increased by 9% year on year to 30,660 crores, predominantly due to continued improvement in our SA business, savings account business, which grew by 7% year on year, rupees 25,316 crores. And CASA ratio improved and increased by 186 bps year on year to reach 33.81% of the total deposits as of December 31, 2022. Bulk deposits declined by 52% year on year, rupees 2012 crores, in line with our strategy. NRA deposits continue to be our strength and now stands at 27,964 crores. It contributes to 31% of our total deposits. Low cost NRA deposits grew by 10% year on year, rupees 9,235 crores. The bank saw a robust growth of 14% year on year in our NRA remittance business. Our investment book was at 24,287 crores, split into HTM of 18,916 crores and AFS and HFT of 5,372 crores. Last year Q3, the M duration of the investment book was at 3.2, which we cautiously reduced to 2.47 as on December 22. The fresh slippages were reduced by 17% year-on-year basis from rupees 387 crores during Q3 FY22 to rupees 320 crores during Q3 FY23, which was within the overall guidance. The overall restructured book stands at 1,781 crores, of which business segment is 929 crores, personal segment is 277 crores and corporate is at 526 crores, agri is at 49 crores. The bank holds standard and restructured provision of rupees 568 crores. Gross NPA ratio reduced by 108 bps from 6.56% as of December 31, 2021 to 5.48% as of December 31, 2022. Recovery and upgrade for the quarter amounted to rupees 426 crores and reduction in GNPA during the quarter on account of recovery and upgrade was rupees 319 crores. The net NPA ratio improved by 126 bps from 3.52% as of December 31, 21 to 2.26% as of December 31, 2022. Our endeavor is to bring GNPA closer to 5% and net NPA closer to 2% in FY 2023. Net interest income for the quarter increased by 44% year-on-year, rupees 825 crores. Net interest margin improved by 88 basis points year-on-year to 3.52% in Q3 FY 2023. The sequential growth in CASA had led to improvement in cost of deposits by 40 basis points year-on-year to reach 4.27%. Our cumulative NIM stands at 3.17% and we endeavor to reach NIM of 3.2% in FY 2023. Our core fee income increased by 10% year-on-year to rupees 140 crores. The bank reported net profit of rupees 103 crores in Q3 FY 2023 due to improvement in net interest income and reduction in provisions on account of lower slippages and better recoveries. But for the one-off events of additional SR provision, our net profit would have been at rupees 306 crores. Treasury profit for the quarter was at 29 crores, excluding the SR provisions. Overall, provisions decreased by 88% year-on-year to 41 crores in Q3 FY 2023. The reduction in provisions was mainly due to lower slippages and better recoveries. Our PCR improved by 643 basis points on year-on-year basis from 68.08% to 74.51% as of December 31, 2022. Our aim is to...
Sir, can you repeat that last line, please? Your voice was not audible.
Our PCR improved by 643 basis points on year-on-year basis from 68.08% to 74.51% as of December 31, 2022. Our aim is to further improve PCR to 75% in FY 23. PCR excluding write-off improved by 12.19% year-on-year basis from 48.01% as of December 31, 2021 to 60.2% as of December 31, 2022. Our overall capital adequacy ratio continues to be robust with 16.25% as of December 31, 2022. The Tier 1 ratio stands at 13.71%. As of December 31, 2022. We are hopeful that the momentum in disbursements and collections will continue in the coming quarters to achieve the desired target. With this, I open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. We will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have our first question from the line of Apurva Parikh from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, good morning. Rohan here from Equirus and congrats on good set of numbers.
Thank you.
Understand, if we look at the current environment, what are the measures that we are taking to ensure that the retail deposit growth keeps pace with the asset growth incrementally? If you could highlight.
See, it's a continuous effort, and as you know, liquidity is certainly an issue in the market, and every bank, as you know, they are trying to revise the interest rates, which is offered to the customer for the right reason, because inflation is high, and therefore for real interest income to come to investors, banks need to increase their fixed deposit interest rates. So we are continuously holding our ALCO every 10 days and for the past few months, and we are very closely looking at the rates which are offered by the market as against the rate offered by us. And we are also continuously looking at the flows in each bucket and take a conscious call on how we want to price these deposits. On one hand, we need to certainly be concerned about the passing on the interest rates to to deposit holders. At the same time, we also need to see how we can continue to pass on this increase in cost to our customers, because as you know, our cost of funds will keep mounting up if we continue to raise deposits to higher costs. And for us to continue to keep the NIM at certain levels, we need to pass on the interest rates to the customer. So while doing all of this, we need to be conscious of the quality of the customers who we are onboarding. So it's a, I would say it's a equation wherein we need to look at all this individually and at the same time how they come together collectively. So the two benchmarks which I use basically to decide on this is how is my credit to deposit ratio at any point in time and how is my liquidity ratio. These are the two things which I LCR, liquidity ratio, which I continue to, liquidity coverage ratio, which I continue to look at. So these two, and at the same time, we are also very clear in the geographies where we handle. Obviously, each geography has its own dynamics, and we are also having a very significant presence in Middle East. So we continuously look at even our deposit rates on foreign currency.
So on the asset side, are we getting a request for renegotiation of the yields and on the spreads basically over the benchmark? How is the experience in the last 2-3 months?
Yeah, if you see, our NIM has been continuously growing. So that goes to prove that we are able to pass on. Our NIM today in this quarter, for the delta of this quarter alone, is at 3.52%. So clearly we are seeing growth in NIM and growth in interest rates, which are linked to reference rates. Clearly, the ability of this increase in cost to be absorbed by all the segments is not going to be easy, because if you look at the repo rates, it has gone up by 2.25%. Clearly, not everyone would be able to absorb this increase in cost. So particularly large corporates and large SMEs, which are doing well, and even prime and super prime customers won't take this increase in cost that easily. So it's a continuous effort put in by the team to put across the view that the cost, overall cost, is going up, and therefore it makes sense to pass on some of this to the customers so that we have a win-win strategy. So customers also get the benefit of not necessarily the higher cost, which otherwise would have been, as against the bank not charging very low interest rates because they are unable to pass on.
What would be the cost of funds on the NRI deposits currently, lended cost of funds?
NRA specifically, I don't want to share that number. Basically, what we do look at is our total cost of deposits. That has gone up by 40 basis. That has gone up by 4 basis points compared to Q2.
On the asset side, in the personal segment, the growth is primarily coming from the others, which has almost doubled in last year. So, which are the products which are there in this and which are showing growth?
I read about the growth which you had shown in personal loan. Even in my statement, I mentioned about the growth in personal segment. Anyway, I'll just give you the numbers. Just hold on for a second. Yeah, personal loan is a book currently stands at 1,609 crores of book, which was at corresponding period of last year, it was at 571 crores. So 571 crores to 1609 crores is the growth in personal loan. Credit card, which was the time we started credit card business around that time. So credit card book at that point in time was 36 crores. Today that stands at 670 crores. Loan against deposits used to be at 1,150 crores. That's today at 1,218 crores. Rest all are very minor ones. So predominantly it is, I would say, PL credit card, which has grown and which is still very insignificant portion of our overall book.
Lastly, from my side, there was a gold price increase in the last quarter, but the gold loan book has not increased. So what's the trend there? Is there demand weak from the customer side? How should one look at it?
Why do you say gold loan book has not grown? It has grown. Gold loan, let me just tell you the number. If you were to really look at the year-on-year growth for gold is 5.43%. That's a year-on-year gold. Retail gold I'm talking about, which has grown from 2,716 crores to 2,864 crores when you compare December to December quarter. Other retail, not other retail, the agri gold, let me just tell you, gold loan total portfolio, if you were to look at, we were at 10,147 crores as of December 21. That is today at 13,398 crores. We have shown a year-on-year growth of 32%. Even Q-on-Q growth is from 13,226 crores to 13,398 crores, which is about 1.3% growth Q-on-Q, quarter-on-quarter.
I was more talking about the Q-on-Q because the prices have increased recently. So from 12,900 to 13,000, not much growth there. So that was...
But these things keep happening. I mean, there is no trend or there is no systemic this thing. Obviously, see, one thing which you should also notice is that gold loan is one business where, if you had to really look at the market, the entire players reduce the gold, the rate of interest for gold loan to even as low as 6.77% sometime back. So now with the way cost of funds are going up, all the banks have also started increasing the rates. And earlier, the arbitrage which customers used to have as against NBFCs to banks obviously all the banks were showing good growth. Now with the rates which are also firming up in the bank, even though banks are continuing to grow, but the rate of delta difference which a customer probably would have got in vis-a-vis a NBFC or a roadside gold lender probably would be much less today. So that's the reason probably people are... but overall, we don't really see that as a trend. We are continuing to see good traction in gold.
Mr. Raman, does that answer your question?
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Nilesh Jethani from BOI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. A few questions from my side. I'll just blot down all the questions and then probably you can reply to each one of them. So first is broadly, when seeing our growth, we are largely driving the corporate side growth at a much higher pace. So psychologically or internally, do we have any target that we will reach a X percentage of corporate and then we'll focus on a diversified growth? Or going ahead, if corporate is seeing a huge growth, we'll continue to capture that amount? That is first. Second is on the NIMS. Since our AAA and AA share is increasing, can you help me understand what is our pricing strategy on the corporate side? Since AAA and AA won't be leaving us much scope to drive the yield growth over there. Third is on the core fee income. So when I see our core fee income, it has been largely stable over the last 4 to 5 quarters, despite a strong growth in the advances. So are we undercutting any upfront fees, etc., to attract growth? And last question is, say, from a 2-year perspective going ahead, where do you see our NIMS and ROA to stabilize? And for that, if you could help us understand a breakup between what are typical yields we make on corporate and what is the yields and ROA we typically make on the retail side. So these are the questions from my side.
Yeah, let me start by saying, if you ask me whether we are focusing on corporate at the expense of any other segment, the answer is no. We are actually focusing on all segments. And our endeavor is to grow in every segment. The endeavor is to build a high quality book. If the quality book is possible to be built in SME, I think we'll be the happiest to do, because in SME, as you know, it can come at a much better yield also. So the endeavor is to build a quality book across the segments, and therefore we focus on all of them. And as a stated strategy, we continue to grow our retail as well as our all other SME as well as the corporate book. See, what you are getting to see is a book. As you know, book is a composite number. Book is a number of what your opening stock is, whatever you are adding as a fresh disbursement, what you are getting rid of by way of rundowns, and then what you are forcibly exiting because of the quality or due to monitoring, we want to get rid of bad customers who are forming part of your portfolio. And there will also be some poaching which will happen because customers might get lured by a lower rate by the competition. So what you get to see is the composite number as a book. If you were to really look at disbursements, in all, every segment, our disbursements are substantially in 9 months of this year compared to 9 months of last year. If you see, every single business has grown quite well. So to answer your question, are we focusing on one segment? No, we are focusing on all segments, and we are seeing good growth happening in all segments. But are you seeing that getting reflected in the book? That what you get to see in the book will be dependent on the nature of that book. For a product which you are starting afresh, for example, a PL or a credit card, where you never had a historical book, whatever you are disbursing will get added to your book. So you will see a delta growth happening there. Whereas for a seasoned business like SME or corporate, there will always be a rundowns happening. There will always be a forced exit which we'll be doing. And there will always be some kind of poaching which will keep happening. So therefore, my suggestion is, look at disbursements and look at the book growth together in order to conclude anything about the focus of the entities, because that gives you the complete picture of what the institution is trying to drive. So this is as far as first question is concerned, and we don't have any specific benchmark of percentage of each business contribution to the overall book. We'll continue to see opportunities in all the segments, and wherever we are seeing good growth coming, wherever we are seeing opportunities, we would want to exploit that. So as I am talking to you, we are currently at about 30-31% is our total corporate book as total portfolio. You know that many of the banks have corporate retail, corporate and non-corporate proportion even as high as 50-50 or 60-40 kind of thing. So we are nowhere near any of those benchmarks. So, and also if you have carefully monitoring the economy and the kind of discussions which keep happening in Davos and various other forums, there is a huge pipeline investment which is going to come from both private as well as from government. So we are seeing good investments keep coming in the corporate area, and as a natural corollary, SME investments will also keep going up. So once we get to see, I'm sure we will have more opportunities to tap in these segments. This is as far as the business outlook is concerned. As far as the rate is concerned, yes, large corporates definitely demand, good corporates definitely demand a very fine pricing. But you should always remember, which I keep telling in every analyst call, we are not looking at corporate only for credit income. Corporate is actually a source for you to actually increase the total wallet share which you can earn as a bank, as an institution. Because corporates deal with a lot of vendors, a lot of dealers, they have a lot of employees, and their ecosystem is full of opportunities. So when you are targeting, when you are talking to a corporate, for example, they might be having 3,000, 4,000 dealers in each state in the country. If you are talking to a retail FMCG giant, they will have some 3,000, 4,000 dealers in each state. So the opportunity which you have is phenomenal. So we don't look at that credit income which we earn from corporate alone for the bank's benefit. We look at what we can earn as a bank in the overall. Actually, the trend which you've been seeing in the banking industry for a good number of years now. I mean, if you are tracking big banks, this is one of the approaches they have always followed as an ecosystem. Ecosystem banking is what is made popular a few years back, and that is exactly what we are trying to do. So it throws up a lot of opportunities for you to expand your business, not only in corporate but in many other areas, including the retail, because many of the executives working for a corporate would need a home loan or a auto loan or any of those, and you will also get a lot more references through them. So it's a good conduit to do many other businesses. So that's how we see a corporate relationship. That's number one. Number two, how are we actually, are we seeing the full passing on of benefit of the interest in increase in cost? This I had answered in my first question. Obviously, we cannot expect them to absorb all the costs. Therefore, we need to price our thing in order to ensure that we continue to deal with them. And many of the corporates also don't give you opportunity right up front. You will have to probably enter through a subsidiary or a associate company, which could be a smaller entity, and then through an interaction with them, they get to understand you and you get to understand them. Then you get into consortium. That's when you actually get to see all the deals at least shown to you before it is shown to anybody else. So we look at it holistically, and that's how we would want to grow our business. As far as NIM is concerned, in each of these business lines and the rate of interest which you charge, obviously, it's all dependent on the ecosystem in which that particular segment operates. In a business segment, for example, you will find well-rated SMEs demanding finer rates compared to not so well-rated SMEs. But our underlying filter is the quality. If it's a good quality SME, which is reflected in our appraisal and also validated by the CMR rating of that SME customer based on CIBIL's score, and also individual promoter scores, etc., and we find the cash flows are good enough, then we don't mind them acquiring at a little lower cost, but with a very clear objective that, again, there will be opportunities which we can make use of as the entity grows. So this is how we are looking at each segment. Retail, as you know, is a fixed rate which we charge, and the home loan is anyway linked to reference rates. So as we keep going, moving the reference rates, we'll continue to deal with them. Again, home loan, like corporate, is a big conduit because typical home loan customers, you find them very stable, good income, and if you are giving a good FOIR, you have a good scope to be with him for longer period for his other consumer requirements, etc. So it's a lifelong relationship with the home loan customer. So, and a home loan book also brings in a lot of stability. So each business has its own objective in your overall portfolio. So long answer, but suffice to say that we are clearly understanding what we need to do, how we need to do, and what we need to price in each of the segments with a very clear objective that we want to onboard quality assets through to build our portfolio, which should be profitable.
Got it, sir. So there's two questions.
Mr. Jethani, I request you to come back in the queue, sir.
Okay.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure the management is able to answer queries from all participants, kindly restrict your questions to two at a time. We have our next question from the line of Sonal from Bowhead Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. This is Sonal Kuri. How are you? And congratulations for
Thank you.
Set of numbers.
I'm sorry, can you use your handset, please? You're not clearly audible.
I'm using a handset only. Am I audible now?
Yes, please go ahead.
Sir, am I audible to you?
Yeah. Yes.
So, sir, I have a couple of questions. Firstly, what was your SMA 1 and standard ECLGS books, ex-NPA?
Our total portfolio is 70,117 crores. So SMA 1 is 1,200 crores and SMA 2 is 697 crores.
And sir, what is your EC LDS book?
Sorry, come again?
What is your EC LDS book? Emergency credit line book?
ECLGS book, 2007 crores.
How much, sir?
2007 crores.
Okay, and this is all standard number, are you telling me?
Yeah, this is the gross advance as of 31st December 2022. Yes. Out of this, we have a NPA of, no, it's not all is not standard. Out of this, we have NPA of 141 crores.
So, two further questions, you know. Firstly, any further rate on restructured book you expect an outlook for gross and net slippages? Second question, outlook on NIMs, you know, in the immediate term and more from a, you know, immediate term as in like coming one or two quarters and from a 1 year perspective. Also, you know, your NIMs on, you know, old book is, you know, relatively much lower than, you know, the new book. So is it because the quality of the loan book and the mix vary substantially, or is it largely because of higher GNPLs on your, you know, old book while new book does not have GNPLs, you know, and there was no interest, you know, write-offs. Thank you.
Yeah, first let me, I have not understood your second question because it was a very long question. Let me first answer me your first question where you talked about what is the outlook on the slippages which you are anticipating. So this year, if you are closely tracking what I have been communicating is, for the full year we gave a guidance of 1,600 crores is a slippage. For the full year, of which 1,000 crores was to come from my regular book and 600 crores was to come from 25% of my restructured book, which was 2,400 crores as of Q1. So 25% of Q1, 2,400 crores was 600 crores and 1,000 crores from my regular book, which was adding up to 1,600 crores. As again, 1,600 crores, which I gave as a guidance as for the full year, we are at 1,105 crores as of Q3 end, and we expect approximately another 400 crores to come in Q4. With this, we expect the total slippages to be 1,500 crores around that, which is well within the guidance of 1,600 crores, which I have given as guidance. Next year, we are expecting slippages in the range of 1,800 crores is what we are anticipating for the next full year. However, we will get to know, we will come back with a more closer number as we move towards the Q4 and we get to see the performance of the portfolio as of Q4. So this is as far as slippages is concerned. Second thing is NIM for the full year, I gave a guidance of 3.5 for the year ended March 22 and 3.2, and as of Q3 end, we are at 3.17. So I'm pretty much closer to the guidance which I gave, which was 3.2% by March. And as far as NIM for the next year, that is by March 22, March 24, this will be as per the strategy document which we had circulated earlier, wherein we had indicated a NIM of 3.5%, 3.5% for the year ended March 24. This is what we give as guidance. Obviously, our endeavor is to probably surpass that much before March 24. This is as far as NIM is concerned. Sorry, your last question, I didn't understand. It was a very long question. Can you repeat it again?
Yes, sir. Sir, I'll come to the last question, but just one clarification of a number you gave. Did you say your slippages expectation for next year is 800 to 1,000 crores, or did you say 1,800 crores?
1,800 crores. 1,800 crores. Yeah.
Sir, why do you expect your slippages to be so high next year, considering, you know, you would have recognized most of your, you know, stress by now, and it was only 1,300 crores this year?
Yeah, let me, if you know the mechanics of how the slippages happen, typically there is a standard book and there is a restructured book. Okay. If you look at standard book, even for the best of banks, you can go and verify this number with even HDFCs and ICICs of the world. Even in the best of banks, large banks who continue to grow at a very, very faster pace of adding huge delta to their advances book, you'll always find them slipping by 1 to 1.25%. This is the ratio which you would see in large banks. So obviously, these banks have, some of them have cleaned up their balance sheet much before. Therefore, you will continue to see a very stabilized slippages happening from those books. Banks like us are concerned, if you look at it, what you should be concerned more about is not slippages, how we are actually covering ourselves with the PCR. Because what actually matters is PCR. So PCR today, excluding write-off, I am at 60%. And I am expecting it to move closer to 65%. 62-63 is probably what I will end up by March. Our endeavor is to reach 65%. And our endeavor is to reach PCR of 70% definitely in the coming year, coming financial year. So the way I look at it is this 1 to 1.25%, which is what we get to see in good, well-run banks, probably would be 1.5 to 1.75 or maybe even 2% for bank like us, which carry some legacy book which continues to be there. If you were to look at my GNPA numbers, still we carry a GNPA quantum, which you must have noticed it is still continuing to be closer to, I'll just tell you the number, 3,000, though we have come down marginally this quarter, but then still we are carrying 3,843 crores is my gross NPA. My net NPA is 1,529 crores. So if you get to see this these numbers, obviously we need to clean this up through an effective recovery and effective closures. So that is what we need to do going forward also. So the way I look at it is, our slippages, we are estimating it to be 1,800 crores. This will probably come from the fact that our portfolio, which is currently standing at 70,000 crores, which has got a new book of 37,000 crores, which will obviously get built up in the coming year also. That book, irrespective of the quality you build, you can assume that over a period 1 to 1.25% slippages will happen from those books. This is what we get to see even in large banks. And then you can anticipate some 25% or 30% kind of slippages happening from your restructured book. So my restructured book is coming down. It was 1,997 crores as of Q2 end, and currently it has come down below that also. 1,780 crores is what we get to say. So we continue to say that maybe 25% slippages will keep happening from there, and 1.25 to 1.5% slippages will happen from your regular book. With all that, we have done an estimate of 1,800 crores. As I said, I will come back with a number much closer to Q4.
So thank you for this elaborate answer. So my question which was pending was...
Can I request you to come back in the queue?
Sir, answering what the MD sir asked me to, repeat the question, just, answering him.
Please
yeah, okay, it's okay. Let him just finish his question, last question.
So sir, you gave a guidance on the, NIM side. Thank you for that. What I was trying to understand from you is, the reason why NIM is high on the new book, is it because the loan book is materially different or, lower in quality, or is it because you had high GNPAs on the previous book and the new book is clean of that and therefore, you don't lose any interest on your NPLs? And on the, the slippage side, what you said, 1,800 crores, I think a relevant number because of the reasons you told us would be a net slippage number, including the recovery. So if, the gross slippage is 1,800 crores, any rough estimate of what kind of net slippage, which is really material for people like us, be expecting next year? Thank you so much.
Other way of asking this question, I would say is, what is the expected upgrade and recovery which you are anticipating for the next year, if I were to rephrase this question? So just to tell you the number, 600 crores is what we did as of March 21, 1,500 crores is what we did as of March 22. We are expecting it to be 1,000, we'll be exceeding that number, maybe closer to 1,600, 1,700 crores is what we anticipate by March 23. Next year, our endeavor is to do 2,000 crores of upgrade and recovery for the next full year. These are all estimates. Obviously, we'll have to work out these numbers, go to our board, get their consent before we officially announce it.
And on the NIM, sir?
NIM, as I said, will be it's as per strategy, 3.5%.
So new book versus old book. The question was why, the NIM is high on the new book.
I don't think that is very material. I mean, I don't think you need to be really knowing about new book, old book, etc. Because as we keep growing our book, anyway, the book will get churned and you will find this new book, old book. I just want to give you a perspective that we continue to carry 33,000 as of 70,000. I'm saying 37,000 is a new book and we still carry the old book, and the old book is also, as you know, since it's a book which you're talking about built before 20, obviously performing ones are continuing performing and non-performing ones anyway will slip out, and that is what we get to see in our GNPA, net NPA and recovery, all that which I talked about. So it doesn't really matter. Overall NIM and overall slippages, overall recovery, I think is what should be concerning.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Renish Bua from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir, and congrats on a great set of numbers.
Thank you.
Two questions from my side. So one is on the this new book, not in terms of the originated, but the new products, let's say PL, credit card, the vehicle book, etc. So just wanted to understand that given these are the new products which might not have a season yet. So what kind of collection efficiency we are witnessing in this new product, and also just to understand from the proposition perspective, whether these loans has been extended to the ETB customers as of now, or we are also sort of offering this product to NTB customers?
Good question. Clearly the new book which you've added today is showing impeccably high, good quality. Therefore, there is no, honestly, there is no feedback on recovery and those kind of things, because the new book, as far as these products are concerned, clearly the overall delinquency itself, as I'm talking, is only 0.06%. So to that extent, it is still quite low. But if you're, to your question, how are we offering this to new set of customers? As far as PL is concerned, we definitely have a pre-approved personal loan, which is basically doing the data analytics on existing customers, arriving at a rule of who we want to provide, and a cross-checking with their credit history, etc. We are offering a pre-approved personal loan. The experience which you are seeing, these products, since they are unsecured, we need to continuously monitor them. We need to continuously keep close track of them. We also have a product called imputed income, which where the customer might be our existing liability customer, but he may not have a great liability relationship with us, but he might be an existing customer of some other bank, where there is an opportunity based on imputed income, you can come with a pre-approved offer. Though he is an existing customer, but we may not be the primary banker for them. So these kind of customers also, we keep offering them pre-approved products, whether it's a personal loan or a credit card or those kind of things. So I think the key to get the unsecured right is to A, get your overall risk appetite very clearly defined, and continuously sourcing high quality cases, continuously monitoring them using vintage curves. And I am happy to say that we do a very regular reviews of all these new products which have launched using vintage curves to see any corrective action to be taken. Since all these are model-based offerings, we can quickly pick wherever we are going wrong. So I can tell you that I have handled much larger books with this kind of methodology. Therefore, I really don't see an issue at all.
Sir, what is the average tenure for this product? I mean, just to understand the seasoning of this book.
Yeah, it's all 3 years, 4 years, like what every other bank offers. That's the general tenure.
Okay. And sir, my second question again on the advance split in terms of the regions. So we have seen that rest of India, is growing at a much faster pace of around 40% YY basis. I understand that most of this could be coming from the corporate book, wherein the head office will be in Bombay or Delhi. But just to understand how the other books, let's say MSME, retail books, whether these books are also gathering pace in rest of India region?
Yeah. We have given in our investor this presentation, we have given even product-wise, if I'm not wrong. So I think we're getting to see opportunities in all these products. See, again, let me just reiterate, I am not hung up on region. I am hung up on quality. If that comes from anywhere in the country, we would want to tap it. So it's not, if you're getting to see more of rest of India, probably the way we are sourced today, we are getting to seeing opportunities there, and those cases which we are spotting are meeting with our quality standards. Therefore, we are onboarding them. Other than that, there is no deliberate strategy to say that we are specifically focusing on rest of India, not looking at Kerala. Nothing like that. There is no, at least in my mind, there is no differentiation. I mean, we are looking at quality, and this quality, wherever it comes from, we would want to do it.
Got it. Just to further on the split side, so again, when we look at the ticket size-wise breakup, you know, it appears that the 5 to 25 crore segment has been degrowing. So what is happening there? I mean, why that segment is not growing from last 3-4 quarters?
See, this is, let me put it this way. See, this, I think you are referring to the slide which is presented in our investor presentation. See, this, in my, I have a completely different view on this slide. Probably we will take this side slide off in the future presentation, because it doesn't really make any sense to me. See, you are doing, see, look at what kind of products we are offering. We are offering products which are basically retail today, which is a focus where we are looking at 5 lakhs, 3 lakhs. So obviously these are all sizes which are going to be far, far lower than the crores which you are talking about. 5 to 25 crores, if you were to really look at that segment, this is the segment which we can offer either from SME or from corporate. These are the two segments where we can offer this product. Today you look at the SME, for SME to have a high ticket size of, let's say, 8, 9, 10, 15 crores, this is the band, if you know, this is the band which normally doesn't give you great collateral. Because these companies, if your exposure alone is, let's say, 10 crores, for example, you will be in a multiple banking or consortium banking where at least you will have a limit of, let's say, 5 banks giving 10 crores, each, let's say 50 crores. Therefore, his turnover would be close to 200 to 250 crores. The 200 to 250 crore company doesn't give you collateral. And SME, and banks which have actually had a focus on this segment, higher ticket SME, invariably they all had issues. Because the moment SMEs, let's face it, SMEs don't have the wherewithal to get out in case of a adverse situation in the economy, because their resources are limited, unlike a corporate. Therefore, these and you don't also have a collateral to really reduce your loss given default. So this is a segment which typically gives you a lot of default. Having said that, it is not that you cannot use good credit tools to underwrite good quality cases here. But yes, definitely we would want to do that. But we would definitely want to do that and tap that as we go along. But let's get the act right in the areas where today you are seeing more opportunities. More opportunities are being seen in SME, where your ticket size on average is 80 lakhs to 1 crore, where we see a lot of potential. There you can actually pretty much use your model, pretty much use your underwriting techniques to onboard good quality cases, where you will also be able to back your exposure with good collateral, where your loss given default is going to be low. So as a segment, that segment is preferred in relation to a segment where you have a high ticket size. So, but having said that, yes, we will definitely tap that segment too, but it will come as we go along. Today in the corporate, for example, you can also come down to the segment from the corporate side. Today, the focus on corporate is to first build a high quality corporate book. Therefore, invariably, we are using rating as a synonym for quality. Therefore, we use external rating, plus we also do our own appraisal to ensure that we onboard good cases. To them, we would want to tap their suppliers, dealers, etc. Probably these are the SMEs who will be in 250 to 200 crore kind of top line, where we will also have a linkage with corporate. So corporate linked business, which is one of the good businesses to do, because you can get a support from your corporate to for stop supply or for enabling us to recover money in case of a problem, etc. Where you also you can arrive at the linkages between them to know that you are indeed handling a good set of customers. That segment definitely will be focusing, but we would want to come down to that segment after we really do a good job in both lower end of SMEs as well as in the higher end of corporates.
Got it. So basically, so this is what I wanted to understand, that strategically, 5 to 25 crore ticket size is basically we are not preferring as of now, rather than we are preferring low ticket size in the maybe a little higher ticket size.
Yeah, if a large corporate wants a 15 crore loan, I'm not going to say no.
Got it.
If a corporate wants a 10 crore loan, I'm not going to say no. So it's not that I'm not focusing on that ticket size. I am looking at customer. If the customer is of good quality, it doesn't matter whether I give 1 crore or 5 crore or 10 crore, so long as he has the ability to pay me. So it's not my choice that if somebody comes and says, I want 8 crores, no, this is not the segment, I'm not approaching from that segment. Yeah, 100,000 crore corporate customer might also want a 15 crore loan. And why would I not give him a loan? Such opportunities probably are not much today, at least in the segment where we are. We will definitely set and focus on them. See, for that, let me just also take 2 minutes to tell you the way forward. How you want to tap this product, there is a methodology to do it. We should get our model right when you look at higher ticket sizes. So today we have a credit model for SMEs to handle up to 2 crores. We need to build a model where we can handle SMEs as well as the lower end of corporates to give a ticket size in the range of, let's say, up to 30 crores, for example, from 2 crores up to 30 crores. If you build a model and if you backtest the model with your goods and bads, and if you can arrive at your risk appetite and calibrate your sourcing accordingly, you can build a very good portfolio there also. And you will be able to get a decent rate in comparison to your large corporate rates. So, but it requires some amount of work and some amount of technology in thing which we need to do. We'll also be able to do that once we have a platform in place. The SME platform is still to come. We are hoping that it will get commissioned by Q4 or maybe Q1 of next year. Once that comes in, we can completely digitize SME business. And the retail platform is also expected to come by Q4 or max by Q1. We'll completely digitize the retail businesses. Once you digitize, then your model can be easily integrated with your platform, with which you will be able to underwrite very comfortably.
Thank you. Participants are requested to restrict their questions to 2 at a time. We have our next question from the line of Priyesh Jain from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Sir, as you mentioned earlier that the cost of, so that your cost of deposits have gone up by 4 basis points, but we see that the other banks have, their rates have gone up by about 25 to 30 basis points. So could you throw some light as to why SIB has not seen a similar increase in the cost of deposits? And my second question is related, like, can you also give a quantum of how much has the bank's FD rates moved in the last 6 months?
No, yeah, if you were to ask the second question, probably I may not be the best person to give you that. Maybe you will have to do your secondary research on comparing deposit rates of various banks and arrive at conclusion. As far as the first question is concerned, which is specific to us, we don't want to say blindly that other banks are raising by 40 basis points, therefore we'll also raise 40 basis, because each bank's journey is very different, each bank's position is very different. A bank which has got a NIM of 5%, 5.5% may not mind going and acquiring a deposit at let's say 7.9% or 8%, because they might be lending to a microfinance or they might be lending to STPL, where you will be able to get 25%, 23% kind of IRR. We are not in that segment. Why are we not in that segment? We don't want to be in that segment at this point in time when I have a GNPA which is still at about 5.4% and where I know that I need to get that act in right and I need to bring them down before I embark on risky segments. See, high risk, high return segments is something which we need to go as a strategy. Today, we don't want to play that strategy. Therefore, if I am in those businesses, then it gives me a lot of leeway to go and increase my deposit cost without worrying about it, because even if I increase my cost by 1%, 1.5%, I know that I can increase the lending cost by 3 to 4% in such segments. Today we are going after quality customers where the appetite for passing on the rate will not be that much. To that extent that we can pass on, negotiate, and we can make a good sense out of them, I will continue to play that game. And today, just because I am not passing on my 40 bips or 100 bips increase in my deposit cost, I am not losing out heavily. I am still at a comfortable CD ratio, I am still at comfortable LCR, and I am still comfortable with my overall deposit growth and overall CASA growth. So we hold 3 ALCOs every month and we continue to monitor this and we will formulate our strategy as per what is right for our bank.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Tushar Sarda from Athena Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity and many congratulations for a fantastic turnaround with the performance of the bank.
Thank you.
What I wanted to understand, sir, was on this security receipts, you mentioned that it is before 2017. So if you can just update on the, recovery process and, when do you think it will actually materialize?
I'm glad that you asked this question because I was actually anticipating this to be the first question from any of you. Anyway, so let me actually, it will be a long answer, so please bear with me. Because I want to give you a complete picture and I want to completely dispel any wrong interpretation of any of the analysts, because this requires little more in-depth understanding of how the whole process works. See, let me start by saying that banks, in order to manage their portfolio quality, we sell our NP assets to ARCs. Okay, this is the process. Every bank does it in order to manage their GNPA numbers, etc., so that it goes out of their books. Okay, so this bank has also done that, and we have been doing that right from 2004. From June 2004 onwards, we have been selling assets. Of course, the first one asset got sold in 4, and after that, the next set of assets were sold in 2014. So as I am talking to you, from 2004 June, which was one pool, then from 14 onwards, we have sold one pool in 14, two pools in 15, three pools in 16, one pool in 17, one in 18, one in 19, two in 21, and one in 22. These are the number of pools we have sold. In all, we have got the, and you know, when we sell it to ARCs, as per the regulations now, ARCs are supposed to be paying 15% by way of cash, and the balance 85% of the recoverable amount, which will be an estimate from the ARC side as how much they can recover from the NPA which you are selling to them, they will offer it by way of SRs. And these SRs are owned by both by ARC and banks in a certain proportion. We own, let's say, 85% they own 20%. That could be one ratio, or it could be 85-15, depending on how we want to do it. Now, the total SRs which the bank is holding out of the various pools which I had mentioned, as of today is 1955 crores. Okay, in this 1955 crores, what actually happens is when ARCs go and engage with these customers, they will go and negotiate with the customer, go for one-time settlement, go for all kinds of resolution, go to the court, get a resolution done, etc., etc. Once they recover money, they set off their own costs, their own fees, etc. And then SRs will get redeemed. That is when you as a bank get back your SRs given to you by way of cash coming from ARCs. So this is what we call SRs getting redeemed. Total SRs which got redeemed is 500 crores out of this many pools which I talked about. So out of 1955 crores of original SR, SR redeemed is about 500 crores. So net-net we have a balance SR today of 1455 crores. So once an SR gets formed, what actually happens is when the resolution keeps happening, every quarter the ARC is supposed to tell a net asset value based on their own estimate of the SR value, depending on their predictability of how much money can they recover from each of those cases. But obviously one can't go by ARC's version alone. So typically rating agency will have to look at independently and ascertain whether the recoverability assumed by ARC is it right or not. So they generally do it by way of giving a band on in which the recovery happens. So depending on the band in which the recovery is happening, the banks are expected to provide if they have assumed a higher recovery than what rating agencies are now telling that the recovery is only this much. So that is what comes back and hits you as a provisioning, additional provisioning, which every bank does it at the end of every quarterly results. So like, so this rule till 2017 was based on the NAV independently clarified by credit rating agencies based on which banks were providing provisioning. In 2017 March regulations came up, and where they said prospectively from 18 onwards, prospectively you will have to provide in your book higher of the two things. One is either the NAV as declared by the ARC based on the rating agency's confirmation, or aging provision. If that book were to stand in your own books, how it gets aged, depending on which your provisioning keeps going up. Whichever is higher, you are supposed to provide for any from 2018 prospectively. So all the banks, including us, we were also providing prospectively based on aging from 2018 onwards. That is what we continue to do in every quarter. Therefore, from 2018 onwards, all the pools are basically provided as per aging. Now with the recent guideline which regulators have come, clarification which regulators have come up with in 5th December, they said even for all the SRs which are outstanding as of 2017, with the pools which were got sold before 2017, for which you are holding SRs as of today, even for all of them, you need to provide based on aging. So every bank which had sold some pool of for which SRs are outstanding today, for the pools which were done 2017 and prior, obviously they will have to provide 100% of whatever they carry, because it's 6 years, 5 years since that event had happened. Therefore, everybody will have to provide 100% of whatever they carry. That number for our bank turned out to be 312 crores. So, good news is that because of our exemplary performance in NIA and in various other things which we talked about, we are able to absorb this one-off additional provisioning which happened due to the clarification given by regulator. Despite that hitting the bank, still we came up with a number of 100 crore plus as net profit. If only we had provided for based on regulator's concession, let's say over a two quarter or over a three quarter or over six quarter, if you had got that concession, probably you would have seen a very evenly spread out provisioning hit on due to this event. But because it had to be taken in one shot, good news is that we were able to absorb it fully. And also the good news is that it's not going to hit you going forward, because now as I'm talking to you, I'm sitting so comfortably because my SR's outstanding as of today is only 215 crores. Okay? And I'm carrying provisioning as per aging is 1241 crores and provision as per NAV is 750 crores. So I'm carrying excess provision of 491 crores. By my outstanding SR's today is only 214 crores. So these 214 crores SR's which I'm carrying, if I don't do any collection from them and if I provide based on aging, my provisioning will be 48 crores and for the next full year it's only 15 crores. So you can imagine from now till March 24, I am going to be, even if no collection happens, I will be loaded with a provision only of 63 crores. Compare that with the hit which you have taken this quarter. So, therefore,
no, I understood that, sir, but my question was, you know, on the recovery. So, are you taking...
I'll address that. Sorry, I have not touched the recovery. I thought I'll first explain the whole process, yeah, and I'll tell you about the recovery.
No, no, thanks for a very detailed explanation.
Recovery, what happens is that we engage with the ARCs, and the ARCs, obviously, they also work in the same ecosystem. So, they also need to go through the court process, etc., etc. So, and they also had the COVID issue hitting them, etc., etc. After all that, if I were to really look at how much is the redemption which has happened in this book in the last period, let's talk about from June 21 onwards. June 21, this is the period when we were in the middle of COVID, you must recollect that. 5.3 crores was the redemption. In September 21, it was 3.74 crores. In December 21, it was 23 crores. In March 22, it was 42 crores. In June 22, it was 42 crores. In September 22, it is 54 crores. In December 22, it is 39 crores. So in this year, for example, we have already redeemed 56, 96, 105, 135 crores, which was as low as, less than 20 crores prior to 21. And all these recovery which you are talking about, the numbers which I read about are all coming from all these pools which I talked about.
That's fantastic, sir. I think this information is not there in the presentation. Maybe I missed it. I'll have a read look at it.
You're right, but then we'll be happy to share it with you. No problem.
Okay. And sir, second question I had was, your new book, you're showing NPA is low, but your slippage rate is high. So is the slippage from the old book or is it that it slips and then it gets upgraded?
Why do you say my slippage is high? I didn't understand.
No, the slippage reported is around 300 crore plus every quarter, right? So, that's around...
And it is predominantly coming from the old book only. So, I'll just give you the breakup of that. Just hold on.
That's what I just wanted to reconfirm.
I'll just tell you. Just a second. Give me a minute. Yeah. See, I'll just tell you the NPA. Gross NPA, which is standing as of today, is 3844 crores. Okay, of which the old book NPA is 3805 crores.
Yeah.
Okay, and 39 crores is from the new book. And in this 39 crores, which you, if you notice, this also includes the FLDG, which we have on credit card. Therefore, the entire money, there is no loss there. And gold, where there is no loss for us. So this includes everything. So as such, if you knock that off, my net gross NPA, my NPA in this is 0.06%. That's my NPA. If you look at SMA 2 from the new book of 37,000 crores is only 84 crores. From the old book is 613 crores. So overall SMA 2 is 697 crores. So suffice to say that in the total SMA 2 book also, out of 697, 613 comes from old book.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And sir, my last question is, if we, ignore this provision which you've done on the security receipt, then your run rate is almost 300 crore net profit for the quarter. Do we expect this to sustain going forward? I mean, it can vary by plus minus a few percentage points, but ballpark figure, would we expect this to continue?
We'll endeavor to reach, come to that kind of levels, definitely. I leave it for your imagination, but then we don't want to give a very, very prospective number. What we will endeavor to do, I'm telling you. We would be happy. More the merrier for us.
Thank you. We have a next question from the line of Pujan Shah from Congruence Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. One of the broad questions would be, so if we see on a historical side from the last 2 years, we have been our branch expansion and so customer touch point is been hovering around 925, 926. Now let's suppose after we have made so much of the new thing like introducing credit card, mutual funds and all that stuff and doing the cross-selling, we have been able to see a business per branch has been like roughly around 164 crores on that range. So what could be the, let's suppose we are talking for the next 2 years of horizon, so what could be the range of the branch expansion we are expecting and the what are the capex or opex side we have been expecting for the expansion of the branch, and due to this, what are the expectations on the cost to income ratio in next 2 years?
Yeah, see, first of all, the as far as the branch expansion is concerned, I think the way banking is moving, as you know, the banking is going to be more and more digital, and every bank is talking about digitalizing the entire thing. Having said that, is the brick and mortar required? Yeah, of course, brick and mortar is required to continue to increase your touch contact point with the customer, etc. Therefore, we need to prioritize the capital expenditure which you want to do for a bank club of our size. So when it comes to investing between tools which are required for digitizing, where you will be able to leverage your technology and get more delta business as against building brick and mortar, definitely we would prefer to leverage on our investment technology. That is what this bank is doing. We have been continuously investing 180 to 200 crores every year on technology. And you know that we have also been continuously winning lots of awards in technology area. And we are indeed using technology for growing our business. I mean, case in point is our credit card business. Case in point is our supply chain finance business, where we are using our, leveraging our technology today to increase our business. So we, obviously with the platforms coming in, which you already invested, with the retail platform coming in, SME platform coming in, etc., we will definitely be going in for more and more digitalization of all these businesses, where the scope is phenomenal. So the way I look at it going forward, each business will be having multiple channels for growth. One of the channel will be brick and mortar. As I could envisage, there are four or five routes by which a business can be grown. One is your traditional distribution channel, which is your branch network. The second one is outsourcing model, which is basically your own DMAs, DSTs, depending on the business. Obviously, retail is more amenable for this, so you will have more channels to source from. Third one is a digital sourcing, where you are agnostic about the place. You can have a good app and anybody from anywhere can get in and he can look at his offering and he can probably prefer to do. Only thing which one needs to be cautious is to ensure that your serviceability and collection ability is there in such geographies from where the customers are getting onboarded. That is the only thing which you need to ensure. So digital is the third way. Fourth way is co-lending. There are many relationships which I talked about today, and each business today has got an opportunity to grow their business by getting into co-lending opportunities. So co-lending is another way by which you can grow your business. Fifth one is many of them not only use the distribution channels today, they also use their own verticals for sourcing, which will be supplementing the distribution network to source more. And apart from that, you can also go out and acquire assets by way of buyouts and by way of securitization or by way of all the NBFCs and many of the small banks which are present there, you have an opportunity to. So today, when you look at opportunity, business can be grown through these 5-6 channels which I am talking about. So brick and mortar is one such channel. Certainly, we will be looking at investing brick and mortar, provided we feel that the delta return invested is going to be much more from there in relation to others. Today we find the leverage is much better in technology and technological investment.
Okay, sir. That's quite detailed answer. Thanks. That's all my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take a last question from the line of Ankur Kumar from Alpha Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Hello.
Thank you for taking my questions. Sir, on the NIM side, you are saying that we are currently at 3.2, but we plan to go to 3.5 in the coming year. But given the pressure on the deposit side in the system, how do you think we can reach those, we can increase from the current levels?
Good question. But if you recall, when did this rate start going up? You noticed that the market rates have started going up almost 2.25%, right? Repo rates have started going up from March of last year, correct?
Yeah.
So 2.25% rates have gone up. So did it not bring pressure to everybody? Obviously, it brought pressure to everybody. So each bank is working with this pressure only, and they are still showing whatever they are showing as performance. So we believe that we'll be able to do. Yeah, whether it is easy, answer is not easy. Whether it is challenging, of course, it is challenging. But whether it's possible, yes, it's possible.
Sure, sir. And on provision side, any guidance for the coming year you would like to give? And on asset side, you are saying we can go to 1%. So given improvement in NIMs that you are expecting, isn't that ROA guidance is a bit conservative?
No, all our estimates will be conservative only. I don't want to give some number which I don't want to, which I'm not able to, not going to deliver. So I would rather be conservative in numbers and show it in my performance. So that's been my approach all this while. So wherever I'm erring also, probably I would correct and come back and tell you that this is what we anticipated, but this is not going to happen. So as far as provision is concerned, I can give you guidance on slippages I've already given you. 2,000 crores is, I mean, 1,800 crores is what we are anticipating as a slippage. That number, we'll anyway work it out to more detail, and we'll come back and share it with you. And our provision coverage ratio guidance I've already given you. We would want to reach, we are at 60% now. We would want to reach 62%-63% by March. We would endeavor to reach 70% by the end of next year. So you can imagine that one is provisioning, which will happen as per slippages. Maybe we'll also start providing much more than what we need in order to improve our PCR.
And you have also said that we expect this profit after tax of 300+ crore to continue going into the next quarter.
That I leave it for your imagination. We can only tell you what we have done. I leave it to you. I don't want to say any number. We will continue to do what we are doing, and let's hope that we surpass all your expectations.
And sir, one clarification in the presentation, page number 5, where we're talking about numbers without SR depreciation and with SR depreciation. So in this profit after tax, without is 306, with is 103. So basically, three times profit after tax has three, it would have gone 3x. But our ROA, there is showing as only marginal improvement from 0.56 to 0.82. So I couldn't understand, basically, are we doing correct calculations in this or not?
We'll check on that. My understanding is 0.8 is our ROA. We'll double-check on that number. But your understanding is right, that this SR provisioning, additional provisioning is that one-off which I had explained. If you knock that off, if you have not done that, your profit is what exactly what you said. We will recheck on the ROA number. ROA, we were at about 0.6% as of September end. We will recheck this number. My understanding is they would have done it correctly, but we will recheck this number.
Sure. Thank you, sir. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Sri Shankar R. from InCred Equities for closing comments. Over to you.
Thank you, SSC. First of all, thank you, Mr. Muralidharan, Mr. Lalit, and their team for patiently answering a lot of questions which came your way. And I think the list, so many people were still able to ask questions, but we overshot our time by around 15 minutes. And thank you all the participants for engaging themselves in an interesting question and answer session. Thank you very much, sir. We'll close the analyst call right now.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thanks.
Thank you. On behalf of InCred Equities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.